Well, Richard, if there's one thing I can say about you, you have tons of energy, and that's putting it mildly. I think that that is so necessary right now. I'd like to ask you two things and have you kind of link them together. What is your read of these times as we're winding down 2006? It seemed to me to be a pretty chaotic year, but you may have a different perspective. What's your energy read of 2006? And then give us a suggestion or two as to what we can do to make ourselves the best vehicles and the healthiest vehicles we can as we're entering a brand new year, of course, 2007. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Those are great questions. You know, 2006, I didn't pay that close attention to it because I was so busy, caught up in the day-to-day events of what my life is like. I know a lot of people experienced turmoil and chaos, and I think turmoil and chaos is generally increasing on the planet. I think that what Greg Braden was saying a number of years ago is that the vibration of the earth is actually increasing, the frequency, while the gravitational field is dropping, and something he talked about getting to 0 point.
So does that mean we're being squeezed to like an orange?
It's kind of like we're being squeezed.
We're turning
like an
into juice.
aren't you glad, you know, that you know about these things?
Right.
I certainly feel that. I've always felt like I'm running on borrowed time, and hopefully that's not like a metaphor for a heart attack or something like that. But I feel like that things are accelerating, and I have things that I have to do, as I'm sure all of us do, and we're feeling the pressure from within and from without to change, to transform. Kind of like the old Superman episode where you take a lump of coal and you put it under enough pressure and you create a diamond. I think we're all being squeezed into becoming the diamond, the facets of our soul. And it can be quite a painful process. I remember in the Bible, Jesus talked about these times. I think it said, and there will people who cry out in fear and go to the mountains and say, fall on me. Because if you're not in the vibration of oneness with this universal energy, or God, call it what you will, then I think the times are going to get more and more chaotic. And you could be hiding under your bed and a tree could fall on you. I mean, there is no safety in these times. You have to be that safety and be that presence from moment to moment. And that requires just staying connected with that oneness that you can contact from that still point in your heart.
And talk more about that, because I think that that is the answer to the second part of the question. In other words, what's going on? We all are feeling something, that's for sure. And now the second part of that is, how do we stay more present? How do we stay in the moment?
I like what Tony Robbins talked about, and my teacher Richard Bandler. You ask pertinent, intelligent questions, open-ended questions. You keep asking questions in
of
such
yourself,
a,
of the
yourself
universe?
And of the universe, both. Mm-hmm. I think they're one and the same, really. So that you keep tying into the descending answer in such a way that you become an arc of contact between your soul or your higher awareness with what is going on.
You know, it's very interesting. I just recently attended a wonderful dinner for a new bank. It's called the New Resource Bank, coming here to San Francisco, and it's all of their investments are going to be in green. And so it was a wonderful dinner in honor of that. And they sent around these cards and they had us all answer three questions. And one of the questions was something to the effect of, very simply put, how could you be more effective? And I thought, wow, I mean, there are a gazillion things I could put down here. And I put being in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes I don't know what to do. I just wait for a response. You know, you can pretend you have guides so that you do it well enough that you actually do. Of course, some people get put on medication if they hear voices, and you have to watch what voices you're listening to. But it is a way to tie into the pulse of the planet and your own spiritual pulse. I think by asking questions, it implies that you create an interval to actually receive an answer. So you ask the question, then you wait.
Right. And I think that this is exactly what we've been talking about on Seeing Beyond over and over and over again with various presenters, is that we used to think that it was a matter of willpower. In other words, I'm going to set a goal and by gads, I'm going to do it and nothing's going to get in my way and here we go. I think now what you're saying is so true. It's more about, fine, have the vision. But then see how things unfold. See how the universe provides for that vision and for you.
Well, you know, I think you can have the vision, and I'm a push-shove sort of guy. I've never let anything stop me. If I set a goal, then I achieve it no matter what. But I achieve it no matter what in the way that I leave an open space for divine inspiration
right.
to update and to balance and to reintegrate that goal so that it can even become something else along the way.
Well, in a way,
you don't really ever give it up. It just kind of falls away.
In a way, you're really balancing the feminine and the masculine energy within you. The feminine being the visionary, the masculine being there, I'll go out and get it for you, dear.
I think you have to do that. A man is never going to stop being a man. You know, there's the difference between shopping and shopping. You know,
right.
A man will go and target something and get it. And perhaps a woman might use a more circuitous route. My wife would, certainly. And yet things get done in an amazing way. And we need the balance of both the masculine and the feminine, the yin and yang, as it were, in our bodies, in ourselves, in our society. And I think that what we're seeing, a lot of the chaos is that searching, that internal searching for balance. Yet I don't really believe in balance. And people always say, well, you need to get balance, get peaceful, whatever. Hell, I wouldn't know what peace was if it bit me, because I'm always moving forward. I feel like time is short. Time is precious. And so everything that I can do to increase the value in the moment of someone else or of myself or of the planet, I will do.
You're going to be here at Unity of Berkeley tonight, Unity of Palo Alto tomorrow night, Open Secret Bookstore on Thursday evening, all of those 7 to 9, just $10. And then you're going to be teaching a seminar the weekend of December. It's more than a weekend. It's 4 days, December 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. Is this all about our physical health, Richard? Because I know that when I think of you, I think of maintaining my body and creating my body in the best way possible to keep myself going, keep my vehicle going. And then I think it's more than about physical health. But what would you say? Would you say that the people who take this are going to learn healing techniques for their physicality?
I would not say so. You know, I mean, certainly you can and you will. But first thing, I don't know what healing is. I certainly know what techniques are because I've studied about 40 or more techniques. And I have two medical degrees, a doctor of chiropractic and a naturopathic doctor, the actual 4-year naturopathic degree. And so I'm a medical doctor in a sense. And you never lose sight of that. So certainly some of what I teach can be applied to, quote, healing. But it disturbs me to even talk about healing, because that is such a personal, integrative, and private thing that no one, I think, can really say what it is, or they have cornered a market on how to heal. I think healing is something that happens when you get in alignment with your internal references and your divine source, and then it shows up in your life. But I don't think anyone really, well, I won't take credit for it. I think more what healing would be to integrate the parts of yourself, like we were talking about, so that you have more resources available in the moment and you can tap that resource at any time.
Now, why are the parts of ourselves not integrated? I mean, we could say, you've heard the vernacular, I'm falling apart. Well, that would, I think, kind of define what you're talking about.
Well, I like to say, I hear people say that, and I like to re-encode that. I say, you're not falling apart, you're falling together. It just feels like, you know, like you're in pieces. And true, we're scattered with our goals, our finances, our love life, our health, our job, our career, our purpose in life, all of those things, you could call them pieces. But yet, if you could step back from them a long ways back, you know, like say, look from above, then they would appear as an integrated whole. And all the elements in our life, I believe, actually come together and form a grid or a matrix that makes sense in the context of who we are in the divine sense. And sometimes you literally cannot see like your health or your finances or your relationships because you're looking too closely. You've got it under a microscope and you need to pull back and take the slower or the wider view. Now, I just saw this great movie that, in fact, the producer was in my seminar, The Secret. And it was pretty basic for me, but it was all about the law of attraction. and that what you think, you know, you achieve, what you put out there, you become. And I believe that's definitely true. But then look at it this way, past lives, what about that? What have you put out there in the past? And I think a lot of what we're seeing in the present moment is the reaping of what we have collectively put out there in the past.
Kind of a cosmic karma.
And it has to come back to teach us the results so that we create better. And that's not to say that you have to believe in karma or death, disease, dying, and all of that. But it is certainly one reality that's pervasive. You can shortcut across that, but in order to do that, you have to transcend the limitations which create the model for that karmic pattern.
Well, let's come back and talk more about transcending these limitations, because I think that is, I think that's really the crux of the matter here, transcending these limitations. Let's come back and talk more about that, Richard. Well, Richard, I said we'd come back and talk about how we can transcend limitations. First of all, let's define our terms. How do we get these limitations? I mean, Richard Bach in his book Illusions said, argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they'll be yours. How do we get these limitations? And then more importantly, I suppose, how do we transcend them?
Well, some limitations perhaps we come in with karmically. We come in with limitations to our health, our vitality, our mental capacity. I have a Down syndrome daughter. I certainly believe that she was a very bright, brilliant, perhaps, person in other lives, and she's working on a different quality, the quality of the heart this time, which, of course, is good for me because of my mind. I have all this Gemini in my chart, and I've got 2 medical degrees, and to have someone that slows you down and makes you look at things from a completely different perspective, that's very helpful. Sometimes transcending our limitations starts by accepting the limitations that life offers us and not fighting and struggling and kicking against them. It's like Jesus said to Paul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. There are pricks in your life, and they're there for your growth and for your transcendence. And it's not necessarily about avoiding suffering or pain or disease or any of those things. It's about learning what the message is and developing a greater, deeper perspective and loving what shows up in your life. And then I believe when you love it and you get the message of it, then you can transcend those limitations.
Transcending meaning?
Transcending for me means that you move to a higher frequency or spectrum where, like I was talking about, moving above your problems, where you say, wow, that's not really a problem because it's taking me in this direction, which is unfolding exactly what should be happening in my life.
You know, so many people get caught up in what I call the soap opera. And what I'm hearing you say is that we're all going to have soap operas in our lives no matter what. You know, it's just part of it. But it's, do we choose to get caught up in it and believe that that's all there is?
Well, it's like Christopher Reeves, you know, he was Superman, and I was watching this last night, and Superman's a big icon for me because I saw a holographic representation of George Reeves as Superman when Matrix Energetics came into being. But I was watching this last night, and then here's Superman, representing the most powerful force that we know of in our archetypes or mythology, and he breaks his neck and then is completely paralyzed and helpless, and yet his spirit transcended this incredible limitation to bring much joy and peace and progress to people's lives.
In fact, I said that Christopher Reeves really became Superman after the accident.
That's the point they were making on this program. I was watching it as an autobiography of him.
We're going to be talking very much about the classes that you're going to be teaching. It's really a seminar. It's 4 days, December 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. Why should Seeing Beyond listeners take this particular class? And of course, it'll be taught by you, Richard.
Well, for one thing, I think my perspective is one of irreverence but relevance.
I like that. Irreverence, but relevance.
When I teach, I teach from a very mental perspective of what I know, what I've learned, what I've been able to do, and what I can teach you to do. But I also teach from a level of not knowing anything and transcending my limitations by first realizing that even though you're limited, you don't have to accept those limitations. You can transcend the very limitations of your sense consciousness, of your physical concrete mind, and receive information directly, say from the heart. the heart has a giant field of, say, 12 feet in circumference that it's been measured. And that is your access to universal information. When you're in the seminar, people link up with a different way of thinking and feeling and being, and they transcend what they thought of as their self into that greater self to some degree, because the seminar is designed to unstructure your preconceived notions about who and what you are. It's really a powerful experience. It's a very powerful experience for me every time I teach it, because I never know, even though we have an itinerary and we have a wonderful PowerPoint presentation and we teach, yes, techniques for healing and other things, those things are almost secondary to the process of becoming something different, which occurs and transcends in the seminar. It's an amazing process.
Well, I love what you said about the fact that we have this huge aura, 12 feet in circumference around our heart. Yeah, that's just amazing. And we have been so carefully taught here in the West, especially in higher education, to use our heads. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of us say we're talking heads. How do you help your students to move from the head to the heart? It doesn't mean that we're, you know, going to automatically become stupid or say that knowledge doesn't matter or not care about what's going on in the world, but we're going to be taking, dare I say, a different perspective.
Well, for one thing, when you get into a room with, say, 150 people or more, and you're all sitting there close together, you're actually in each other's own heart field. Greg Braden talked about this. And then I'm up there on the stage, and everybody's up there looking at me, and then I'm putting out a certain rhythm and vibration and frequency. Everybody starts to come into balance with that frequency in their own way, their own unique creative way, and it actually uplifts the entire room. You can feel the room itself, the physical room, change. After a while being in that seminar, something will happen on the stage or that'll happen with another person, and everybody will feel it, or at least a large portion of the people. I'll ask them, how many of you felt that? And they'll raise their hand. They start to track or stalk, as Carlos Castaneda said, other realms of information and possibility. And once you open those doorways of perception, they don't close again in most cases. Now, it's not to say you don't have to practice, but the way the seminar is designed, it's designed so you show up and you get the information at a very deep level so that you're not even sure what you got. And that's what changes people. It's almost like a virus. It's a little bit sneaky, this power, because it's not up to me what happens in that seminar. It's up to those sponsoring forces or guides or whatever you want to call them that actually direct things from behind the scenes. And the real changes are the deep internal ones that are lasting. They're changes that show up in your life and you don't even know how they got there.
You know, I love the personal story. Can you give us some examples of people who have taken your classes, who've had those kinds of lasting changes?
I don't know about lasting changes, because I can only speak to what I hear. And so I don't know what happens on a daily basis. And this is the thing I want people to understand. You are responsible for your life, not me, you know, and so
you're responsible for what lasts.
That's right. You have to make that experience every day for yourself. You know, it's like if you get out and you suddenly decide, well, I'm not going to utilize the skills of driving that I've learned. I'm going to try something different. And you're on the San Francisco freeway, you know, not a good idea.
Right.
You want to have these skills. And that's one of the things we hone is your skills. So we teach you a skill set. But you then want to use that skill set to transcend your limitations. We had a person just this last seminar in L.A., we teach about these 21 universal frequencies, which I don't talk about that much because they're less verifiable. But there's this one, frequency 5, that has to do with intercommunication and, in a sense, peace. And so it can bring things into balance or harmony. After she took the seminar on Sunday, she was coming back on Monday for level 2, and there was a lady that was arguing with somebody in a car, and she was across the street now, and this person was getting madder and madder, and it felt very bad. And she just held up her hand, and something came through her, and she thought frequency 5, and this lady suddenly turns around and is slammed against the side of the van, unable to move and completely speechless. Now, she didn't do anything to her. She merely opened the space where the universe could have a little conversation.
Well, I got to ask you, what in the world is frequency 5?
Frequency 5 is one of a set of frequencies, 1 through 21, that was given to me around 2001, right around the time of the September 11th fiasco, which again, I think awakened our national spirit. But one day, my guides, who have been with me all my life, I came through the door of my office and they said, today we're going to learn about the 21 universal frequencies that govern healing and disease in the human species. Now, it's much more than that. And what I think now the 21 frequencies are almost like a life coach or a yoga instructor, where they take you through certain levels of consciousness and experience so that you're actually refining and fine-tuning the awareness in your physical body and beyond your physical body. Quite amazing what they can do. It's a self-help scheme that truly is from beyond.
Wow. Well, give us an example then. What is frequency 5?
5 is, again, it looks kind of rose pink to me. It is an energy that is beyond the physical spectrum, although it has been measured recently with EEG and EKG and heart rate variability. I was hooked up to a monitor and was working on actually my older daughter. And so we'll post that on the website at some point. But it's subjective in the sense that it's real when you make it real for yourself. But yet when I'm given something, I don't question it. I just go, okay. And then I go and I teach it because that's what I'm told to do. And so I can't tell you that it does specific things, although it does. I had panic attacks. It healed, quote, my panic attacks. I got them when I was in medical school the second time at age 42.
I can imagine.
That'll cause panic attacks.
Right, no kidding.
31 credit hours a semester, which you probably can't even, most of people can't comprehend that.
No.
And working full time as well. And I started having panic attacks. Well, when I taught my first seminar, I was teaching the basic rudimentary understanding of these frequencies and many other things that we teach. And I started having a panic attack on the plane because I had talked myself raw and my throat felt like it was constricting. And then I got on a small plane in front of a bulkhead in a very tight enclosed space, and I started having trouble breathing. And I was told just hold frequency 5 in my awareness, point it towards my throat. And I did. It's kind of like turning it on. We teach you how to turn it on like a switch. We literally practice turning on a switch that you can feel. And within 90 seconds, I was asleep. After about 5 or so more times, I didn't have panic attacks anymore. We've had people, we had a lady that one of my students who healed, quote, a child with a tumor on her spleen with frequency 6. We use these things all the time. They're kind of like crayons in a master artist set.
Let's come back and talk more specifically about what's going to be happening at these events, even starting tonight. We're here with Dr. Richard Bartlett. He is a doctor of chiropractic. He is also a naturopath, and he is a teacher extraordinaire. We're talking about the evenings, the almost free evenings. They're just $10 coming up starting tonight, and the seminar. Well, you know, people are going to want to know a little bit about what happens at these evenings. One thing I can tell them is, just by having known you for the period of time that I have, Richard, is they ain't going to be bored.
No.
They're not just going to be sitting and listening to a lecture. Talk about what's going to happen, for example, tonight at Unity of Berkeley.
Well, I'm going to go not have a thing in my head and then go off and go nuts, probably. I'm fairly entertaining because I'm there primarily to entertain myself. If I can amuse and entertain myself, I have high standards for that, then you'll probably have a lot of fun as well. I hate to be bored. I hate to see people bored out in the audience. People sometimes, when I touch them, they will become unconscious. They will go into weird yoga positions.
Wow.
People say they've been, quote, healed by being in, you know, these little two-hour presentations. You'll certainly hear a lot of information in ways you've never thought of it. You'll hear some stuff about quantum physics, but in a way that you can use it in your life. That was my one beef with the movie that what the bleep do you do with it, you see? Because there was a lot of good information there, but I left not knowing how to apply that in my life. One of the things that we do in the seminar is we take these principles, we teach them, actually like a scientist would teach them, but then we teach you how to use them to change your life.
All right, now somebody coming, for example, tonight to Berkeley, Unity of Berkeley, or tomorrow night to Unity of Palo Alto, or Thursday night to Open Secret Bookstore in San Rafael, do you find that most of the people who come have some kind of an ailment? Let's just all pull one out of the ether, say low back pain, and they come and they go, come on, Richard, heal me or show me how to heal myself.
Yeah, some people will do that. And in fact, some people even come to the seminar, which you should not do, come to the seminar to be, quote, healed. Now, that may happen in the course of the seminar. It may even happen by being, you know, there at one of these two-hour presentations. But that is not my intent. My intent is to teach you how to access the energy that can heal you, that can heal others, that can become a force in your life, that can lead you beyond your current expectations and limitations.
What is this energy?
I have no idea. I call it God. You know, I have no idea. It shows up the way it does for me, and we call it matrix energetics because it's what was given to me, and I feel the responsibility to teach what is given to me. But I'm not saying it's better than anything else. I'm saying it is certainly different. Everyone that has ever taken the seminar has felt that difference. It's tangible. It's physically represented. It will show up in very odd and sometimes mischievous ways. It is fun. It is extremely, it can be extremely life-changing for people.
Now, I would imagine that this energy, call it God energy, whatever you want to call it, has always been present, has always been with us. Have we just forgotten about it and are just now waking up to it? Or do you see, as you look over the past in history, that it's kind of gone in waves of up and down, and sometimes in history people are more aware of it than others?
Well, it's interesting. You know, my friend Dr. Eric Pearl talks about reconnective healing, reconnection. He says it's an energy that's new to the planet, that's never been here before. Well, how the heck does he know that? You know, he's not psychic per se. That's what he tells me. But it is a very powerful thing. Just because something is powerful and you say it's never been here before, how the heck do you know? I don't know. But I will tell you, the way it's shown up in my life and the way it's shown up in the seminars, I've never seen anything like it.
Well, and it sounds like it's more readily available to everybody.
Anybody can learn what I'm teaching, but what's most important is you can learn to apply it in your life, in your way, in ways that I wouldn't necessarily think of, because that is the whole focus and scope of the seminar is for you to have something that you can use and be and become in your life that's going to be relevant specifically to you.
Emerson said, imitation is suicide. And I don't think he meant that you never go to school and learn something. You learn the techniques, you learn the skills, but then you take it and you do something different with it, more with it. You put your own spin on the ball.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. I had a doctor call me one time when I was first in practice, and I had a busy practice, and he wanted to know what chiropractic school I went to. And I've been out in practice about 3 years, and I said, why is that relevant? I said, you want to know what school I went to? Because you went to school and then you never learned anything past that. Most of what I'm doing, I didn't learn in school. I learned from life, or I learned from the needs of my patients.
I mean, you learned where the spleen was in school, but now what are you going to do with that fact?
Yeah, you know. Well, problems should be spleen and not heard, you know. you make a joke out of it, you know. Let me spleen something to you, Lucy, you know. no, you have to be innovative, and you have to give up, I think, your preconceptions every day so that you're an empty vessel to get more awareness, to get more power, to get more comprehension, to be able to serve yourself and others. I think it's about service. And so if that's what drives you, and I think it drives many people, come to the seminar. We will teach you some tools to measure change in your life in such a way you physically can see the difference and know it instantly. And that's how we learn. We learn by learning what's different. It's like, oh, well, that's never happened before, but now it's happening. And then you start to make new perceptions based upon your new experiences, and then you form a whole new guideline for the way you set up your life.
Now, do you feel that most of the people who attend your classes want to be healers?
I hope not. I tell healers not to attend the class. Not to say don't attend the class, but don't attend the class with these preconceived notions that, oh, I'm a Qigong master, or oh, I'm a chiropractor, or whatever. I'm liable to knock over, or at least step on your sacred cows, because I don't believe in healing, and I don't believe in chiropractors, and I don't believe in Reiki, and I you know, it's like John Lennon, you know, right? Don't believe in the Beatles, just believe in me. And I don't even believe in me. I believe in God. So it's like, to me, what shows up in the moment is what's relevant, and whatever you think you are or did the moment before is not so much so. It's you have to keep it fresh and keep reinventing yourself. That's how the divine potential unfolds in you, by being humble and being aware that you don't know nothing.
You know, is there anything we can be sure of then, Richard?
We can be sure of everything that we're sure of. Because that's one level.
But are you really sure of it?
Yeah, that's one level. It's good to have certainty. Like, you want to know how to drive. You want to know whether you can climb a mountain or not. You want to have the uncertainty principle working for you, Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. If you think you can climb a mountain, but you're not sure, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Right? So there's things that you have mastered. And you're not going to lose the things you've mastered. You simply open to being able to master more by becoming more of a student of life.
You know, there's so much stuckness, stubbornness on the planet right now.
Oh, I'm very much in that.
It sounds to me like this is a way to bust out of that.
People certainly do. We have people that attend the seminar. They tell me literally all the time that their life was never the same after that seminar. Sometimes they think they're saying sane. They were never the same. But true. You can bust out of your limitations, your preconceptions, your little boxes by realizing, hey, you're not in a box.
All right. Now, Richard, I noticed that the seminar, December 8th, 9th, and 10th, is 4 days. Is that going to be 4 complete days, or is it like Friday night?
Friday night, it's a two-hour presentation, that's which is December more 8th, like okay. an induction into the hall of infamous ideas, where you actually just listen to me talk, we play, we do some examples, you get into a group spirit, and you start to bond with the people that will be there with you. Then on Saturday morning, we go right to work. We teach some principles in the morning. By the afternoon, you're hands-on, working on each other, learning to apply what you've just learned, and you're transcending your model.
All right, and then the 10th and the 11th. Is the 11th an all-day, or that's a Monday, of course?
The 10th, whatever it is, the 9th, 10th, and 11th are all day long.
Mm-hmm, all day long.
And okay. they are not boring. They continually build one skill after the other. We teach you how to play with time travel, the idea of parallel universes. We teach you about these 21 universal frequencies. And then on Monday, we actually take all of this, debrief you, answer questions, bring it all together, practice everything we've learned, and then go from there into what I call skinning and scanning, where you start to notice what you notice and then do what shows up in the moment. And you will have the skills to do that by Monday.
And this is more than just noticing that somebody's got a lower back problem or a disc out of joint or something like this. This is about life in general, about
situation. By the time you get through that seminar, you might be talking to angels or seeing heat patterns around people, and you've never seen an aura in your life. We had a carpenter who was attending the seminar, raised his hand, was very scared. He thought he was having a problem with his eyes because he was looking at me up on the stage and he was seeing patterns shifting around me in the air. And I said, come up here. And he came up there and I said, look at her in the second row. Tell me about the heat patterns around her. And he started describing. I said, now, if you could see colors, what colors would those be? And he started to describe the colors he was seeing, and he was seeing auras and has been ever since. Never saw him before in his life.
Well, somebody like my mom might say, so what's the point in seeing an aura? What good's that going to do me?
Well, an aura, again, is just our preconceptions of we think things are supposed to have color and movement. It allows you to realize there's something beyond your physical self. It allows you to perhaps even catch problems before they become physical.
Before they somatize.
It allows you to have more information. And more information is always a good idea. In business, it's the person who has the information that's going to make the money. You see, it's the more information you have, the more experience you can gain, the more powerful your experiences become, the more expansive your life is.
And the more you can do it differently to make a difference.
Yeah. Then
a positive difference.
You bring a difference to the world.
We're here with Dr. Richard Bartlett, and while I was running down and putting money in my meter, I'm never idle here, am I, Richard?
No.
As I was doing that, your associate came in and said, Richard, be sure and tell this story. And I said to you, I can't think of a better way to intrigue people than the story. It seems to me to be the greatest teacher. I miss the story. Tell it so that I can hear it too.
Yeah, I love to hear stories. That's why I go to the website at matrixenergetics.com and look at the discussion board, because there's things happening all the time all around the world from people that have taken the seminars. Well, this person who drove me here today, she is an RN.
She got him here on time.
She's an RN. Oh. She's been one for a number of years, but they don't teach how to resuscitate goldfish in RN school. So she just told me this story that I'd forgotten about. She came back from, I think, the first seminar she went to, and she came home and her goldfish was floating upside down in the tank.
That means it's dead.
And its gills were not moving. Mm-hmm. That's a bad sign.
No, yeah.
You don't have to be an RN to be able to tell that. And she did something we teach in the seminar called a two-point. That's a way to measure and observe your reality from a quantum level differently and know that it has changed. She two-pointed this fish, and she used one of the frequencies, frequency 16, which is associated with dolphin and whales. I don't know why, but it is. And then she walked away. Because one of the things you have to learn how to do is to freaking let go. Uh-huh. Once you have an expectation, you got to let go and allow something different to happen. Or you'll keep watching it and observing it with the same lens of perception you've used before that hasn't worked. So she did the two-point. She did this little frequency 16 and let go and walked away. The next day she walked in, the goldfish was swimming in the bowl. And 6 months later, it's still fine. Now,
well,
that,
Cleo,
to me, speaks volumes.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're doing this kind of energy work on a baby or an animal or a goldfish, then you can't make the claim that there's the placebo effect, that,
yeah,
they,
exactly,
were, that they were thinking it and that's what happened.
Yeah, that's right. We have another person, and I'll tell it quickly because it's a big story, but basically this cat fell off of a 7-story building, and one of my students was there, helped the cat. They took it to the vet. It had a broken pelvis and internal injuries based upon the ultrasound and x-ray findings. We're going to operate the next morning, but this student worked on the cat for 20 minutes and did the things we teach in the seminar. And the next day, the vet called very perplexed and said, there's no broken pelvis on this repeat x-ray, and I don't see any sign of internal bleeding. And the cat's up running around quite frisky, and could you come pick him up, please?
That is amazing. Now, is there a frequency for cats? If there's a frequency for dolphins and whales.
The frequency for cats is, you don't matter, I do.
Yeah. Right.
And they keep broadcasting that all day long, 24 hours a day. You need special whiskers, antennas, to tune into that frequency. It's not, you know, the frequencies are not like they can be used like a menu because there's certain things they are described as doing, but we don't know what they're really doing. So we let them show up and teach us. They're like individual guides and teachers.
All right. Now, for people who've just tuned in, Richard, I mean, you've got quite a medical background here. You're a doctor, chiropractic, you're a naturopath, but you got these frequencies from whom or what or how?
Well, it's a guide that's, when I was 10 years old, I got hit by a car and was thrown 20 feet in the air and landed and slid another 25.
Ouch.
As I'm flying through the air doing a Christopher Reeves looking number, was going to land on my head and be dead, I heard a loud voice proclaim, slap the mat, which is a judo term, and I didn't know that, so past lives anyone? And I slapped the mat, which means my body instantly responded from previous conditioning and saved my life. And then there was a few angels probably that caught me because I wasn't even scraped or bumped at all. I had a little blood on my elbows. But I mean, I should have been dead.
Yeah.
That voice has been in my life ever since. It's what gave me Matrix Energetics. It's what taught me the frequencies. And I pretty much listened to it. And people that have listened to what I've been taught have benefited as well.
Any idea, I don't know that we should even use that word around you, Richard, any idea of who or what that voice is?
It could be some aspect of my superconscious or even my subconscious. It's something that has access to information from other lives, from other realms that I'm not normally conscious of. Now, you can learn to become conscious of these things by what? Oh, that would be by listening. And then when you hear that voice, turn it up. Don't let it be a small, still, silent voice. Let it be a loud, insistent, powerful voice.
We got 1 minute, but this is so important. You're a dad. You've got several kids.
Yes, four.
How do we as parents, grandparents, and teachers help our kids to turn up the voices instead of acting like, oh my gosh, this is your imagination. It's Freaky Friday. Turn it down. Shut it off. Get rid of it.
Read more comics, watch more cartoons, listen to inspiration. When you hear the voice, turn it up in your head. When you get an idea, respect it and move and act.
And for our kids, how do we help them to do that?
By being an example. By being an example of doing that in your life and showing that with absolute resolve and never compromising.
And communicating to them that this is what's going on with you.
My kids have been in my seminar. My daughter was a crack addict from age 16 until when she went to my seminar, and something happened. She got laid flat on the carpet making pretty snow angels, and when she came back, she was different. And it was like 20 minutes later, she comes back, and her life changed, and she's now a master teacher in Matrix Energetics.
And this is one of the hardest addictions to break, I've heard.
Apparently not. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that we cure meth addiction. I'm saying that God is more powerful than anything we can imagine.